Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't slouch. Sit up while you're sitting at the dinner table. Maybe you've heard things like that in the past as your parents have told you to stand up straight, to have good posture, right? We've placed a lot of emphasis on posture in our world today. Some of the chairs we can purchase for our desk at home are ergonomically correct, and they help promote good posture and give us good support. Now, this isn't just for posture's sake that there's this emphasis on good posture. There's actually benefits to it. It's more than just aesthetic. A few benefits, and there's a whole list of them, but a few of them are breathing. We can breathe better when we have good posture. We have a decrease in back and neck pain when we have proper posture. If you've ever been to a chiropractor, they'll tell you about that and about the importance of sitting up well when you're at work. There's increased energy that comes when one has good posture. There's also an improvement to our mood. Just by sitting up, by standing up straight, it impacts our feelings, our emotions, and it improves our ability to concentrate. So, for those of you who are listening to the sermon right now, sit up straight so that you can concentrate and listen to the Word of God. God created us as whole beings with bodies, with minds, with spirits. And so the way that our body, our posture, impacts our, not just our physicality, our physical benefits, but also it impacts our mind, it impacts our emotions. That shouldn't be a surprise. It's all interconnected. And that also goes for prayer, our prayer life. Posture applies to prayer in a way. And so we are in a sermon series right now talking about the postures of prayer. And in the Bible, there are a bunch of different postures that are spoken about when it comes to worshiping and to prayer. There's a couple that we've talked about recently have to do with being still. Be still and know that I'm God. There's something about stillness, about quietness that can help us in our relationship and our conversations with God. There's also hands lifted up. I believe it's Psalm 128 that says, may the lifting up of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. That's part of our liturgy in, I believe, the evening prayer in Lutheran service book. Also, Scripture talks about kneeling, and it talks about bowing and prostration, right? So and we see this in our world today, too, in the way that we practice prayer, even maybe without knowing it, right? We assume certain postures. When I have chapel with the open-arm preschool and childcare kids on Wednesday mornings, we talk about, okay, it's time to pray. What do we do with our hands? Well, we fold them. What do we do with our eyes? We close them. What do we do with our head? We bow it. That's our posture of prayer. Maybe you've learned something similar in your life. Today, specifically, I want to talk about a particular posture, the posture of prostration. Right? Prostration, that's a big, fancy word, and not to be confused with prostrate. Prostrate and prostate are two very different things. Prostate, that's a gland in the body. That's a whole different discussion. Not going to go there today. We're going to talk about the posture of prostrate. Prostrate, get that R in there. Prayer. And what that is in reference to is to the act of bowing down. To be prostrate is to bow down, is to be face down to the ground, lying flat on the ground with our head down. Now, that's sort of an uncommon, a bit foreign form of prayer, posture of prayer for many of us today. But Scripture talks about it a lot. Let me tell you, the number of times that Scripture references that being face down, that prostrate position, it's more than I could count. Hundreds of times in Scriptures we run against this. So not always do we hear the word prostrate said, but the description of that position is pretty clear, pretty evident. So a couple examples from Genesis chapter 17, right towards the beginning of the Bible. It says, "Then Abram fell on his face," fell on his face, "and God said to him," right? So Abram in that moment was prostrate. He was faced on the ground, face down. Another one from Matthew chapter 2. "And going into the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him." They fell down. That's the English Standard Version. Some versions say they fell face down, they fell prostrate and worshiped him. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. "While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.'" He was prostrate. And then in Revelation chapter 7, describing the future glories of heaven, of the new creation, of worshiping God, it says this, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God." They were prostrate. So why? What is it? Maybe you're already intuiting sort of this posture of prostration and what it means. But it's a posture of humility. And let's be clear. Our prayers to God are not dependent upon us taking the exact proper posture in order for God to hear us. That's silly. That goes against everything that we know as Christians who are saved by grace, by the grace of Christ and the grace of God. God is much more concerned about the posture of our heart than the posture of our body, if that makes sense. And yet, somehow, there's a strong connection between our bodies and our souls, our bodies and our hearts, if you will. This posture of prostration, sometimes we don't often full-blown due prostration in our prayer life, right, or in our worship life, but we do things like bowing, like genuflecting. Maybe you've heard that word, maybe not, but sometimes, especially in some Lutheran churches, but also in Catholic churches and Eastern Orthodox churches, they genuflect before the Lord's Supper. And so it's not a rote action. There's a purpose to that posture. And it can and what it does is it can remind us our whole selves to be humble. We prostrate, we bow, we genuflect out of humility. Prostrating, bowing, genuflecting, doing it, that very act also reminds us to be humble. Years ago, maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, I was leading worship at a different church down in the Denver metro area, and part of the service, part of what I did is, as I entered into the chancel space or the altar area, I bowed. Right, it wasn't a full prostration. My face, I wasn't laying on the ground, but I bowed. And one young man came to me afterwards and asked me, somewhat genuinely, I think, but he asked me, well, why do you bow? Are you really thinking about what you're doing when you do that, when you bow? And to be honest, his question made me stop and think. In some ways, I kind of had started just going through it. Like, I knew why I was bowing. But it did cause me to think, oh yeah, I'm bowing to be humble, to show humility in the presence of the Lord as I enter into his worship, his holy space, and worship him. Hopefully, I still think of that often. Hopefully, when I bow, when I genuflect, when we say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when I even think about these sorts of prayers, the posture of prayer, I think about being humble, about humility. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Just one of the many references in Scripture to the posture, if you will, of humility. God desires a humble heart. Now, we don't always take that posture of humility, and part of it is, that's kind of not what our world is telling us, right? The posture we take, I'll try not to hit the microphone here too much, but it's more of a arms crossed. Really, God, is that really what your word says? And when we're judging it, or sometimes the posture we can take is more of a combative posture, dukes up, not a humble posture, but ready to fight. Sometimes, maybe this is more prevalent than the other two, the posture we can take is chest out, trying to show people that we have a strong disposition, a strong posture, that we're assured of ourselves, we're confident. But sometimes we can forget. We can easily forget that we ought to be humble in front of a mighty God. When I was in high school, We had just a couple years prior to that, my family and I had just moved into a new home. My dad, who was a carpenter by trade, did a lot of work on this home, both inside with the trim work and the painting and all that sort of stuff, but also on the outside, the exterior, the garden, the lawn, the flower bed, the deck, all these sorts of things are things that he worked on, and I got to help him with as he was doing it. And there was one summer, somewhere early in high school, I think it was, where we were looking around. It was a summer evening, and we're looking around, and I'd just gotten done finished mowing the grass, and we're just looking at the lawn and feeling pretty good. This place looks pretty good right now, right? And we're just looking at the freshly mown lawn, looking at the flower beds, looking at the garden coming through. It felt good. We felt like we had accomplished something, and maybe we started getting a little prideful. Went on a walk right after that with our dog, went down the street, only, you know, quarter mile, half mile, whatever, not that far, and then on the way back, looked up, and there it was. Clouds coming in, and they were dark, and they were rolling in fast, and so much so that not only could we see it coming, we could hear it coming. It sounded like a train, and we're like, uh-oh. And so we started sprinting back home after our walk, and got up to the garage just in time. I remember my dad pulling down the garage door. The power had gone out already, pulling down the garage door because he heard the wind coming. He didn't want the roof to get ripped off. And we went inside the house, and it didn't take long. It was only, I don't know, maybe a minute or two. But when we came out, 100 pine trees had blown over. Big pine trees, right? Like, I don't know, probably 20, 30 feet tall. And we had a mess on our hand. And it was as if God was saying, stay humble. Don't be too prideful. And I realized at least at that moment, that in our pride we had forgotten to give thanks to God, that we needed that reminder. Sometimes we as people get prideful. We need to be humbled by God. And let's just call it what it is. Pride, the posture of pride, is not a posture of prayer. But God loves us so much that when he sees pride welling up in our hearts, he is willing to bring us down so that we come back to him. He's not only willing to humble us in that way, but he sees our actions, our sins, our brokenness, our pride. And he says, that's not good. That's hurtful to my relationship with them, with their relationship, humans with each other. We need to fix this. And that is where our Lord Jesus stepped down from the throne room of heaven. And as Philippians chapter 2 tells us, he humbled himself. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He stepped down into this world, took the form of a servant, took the form of a man. The creator of the world had become part of creation. But not just that, he took on our sin, our brokenness. He took upon himself our pride. And he humbly walked to the cross, bearing our sins, dying our death, so that we could have life in his name. In the Garden of Gethsemane, that evening before Jesus was crucified, he was there and he was praying. And what we're told in Matthew chapter 26, is that Jesus, when he went to pray, he was laying face down, prostrate. Jesus was humble. And his humility, it inspires and empowers my own ability to be humble. We are made, we are able to have conversations with God because he humbled himself so that we could be forgiven, so that that relationship with God can be restored, so that we can have a perfect prayer posture in Christ. So whatever your posture of prayer is in worship services, whatever your posture of prayer is in your personal devotions, whether it be standing or sitting or laying prostrate, remember the posture of humility. And may we humbly approach the throne of our Lord as he graciously hears our prayers. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.